Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad that you decided to join us again this week. And I'm Hope, of course. And John, my husband, is here.
John is here.
Yes, yes. He's faithful. And we also have special guest Eileen Ellsworth, who is also John's mom. Welcome.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you.
And she's here for the second time because we've already had her on.
Yes.
Yes.
See,
yes.
So you're our first repeat
guest. Ooh. I better be careful. We have to start like handing out things for, you know, like gold and platinum visitors, you know.
As long as she doesn't want to get paid, then we're fine. Ain't nobody getting paid around here.
Sounds good.
For free. So we are still on the topic of identity. Last week we talked about being known. I am known. And that was really cool. In fact, we're going to make reference to that a little bit throughout today because it kind of meshes all together with this one. And this week we're going to be talking about how I am loved and that we can find our identity in how God loves us. But on the subject of love.
Wait. Did you invite Zeke to come back this time?
I did not. Zeke is at his home, I'm sure, or riding around in the golf cart with Tracy.
Right.
But we did not invite Zeke this week. We thought, you know, one is probably good enough for him to put his input in.
Right.
So we were like, thank you for coming. And yeah.
Thank you for the bark.
Thank you for the bark. He chimed in from time to time. And so.
All right. Back to your regularly scheduled program.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me about Zeke. He's a cute little guy. He's very vocal. Yes. So we're talking about love this week and how I can find my identity and how I am loved by God. And however, the subject of love can be a little tricky these days, like the definition of it and different people's opinions and the way that they see it. We have, you know, the love that's the puppy love, the new people, you know, a lot of times it's middle schoolers, which kind of gets me really, because they don't need to be worrying about that at all. I mean, that's not necessary at all. Just focus on your studies, guys. But kind of like that puppy love, you know, where it's like, oh, this person likes me. They pay attention to me. that kind of love. And then you have the kind of love that maybe is a little bit more mature and they're showing each other a little bit more mature that they love each other. But maybe that's not necessarily that kind of love. How about you guys? What kind of definitions of love do you see out there?
There's a love that I call the Three Musketeer kind of love. Mm-hmm. You watch my back, I'll watch yours. As long as we can do for each other, we call that love, but it's got to be reciprocated.
Right. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. I was really hoping Mom was pulling out a candy bar there.
No.
You bring up the Three Musketeer.
One for all and all for one, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Because that seems like a very healthy, in quotes and air quotes, worldly kind of love. Because, you know, if you love me, then you'll do for me. But then, you know, then it's what is that?
Oh,
like when you call in a favor.
Quid pro quo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not healthy. I mean, obviously the ultimate love is not
It can get very dangerous.
Yeah.
When a person wants to go in a wrong direction and they expect you to just be okay with that or to support them in a wrong direction because you love them, don't you?
Well, you owe them one.
You owe them one. Yeah. Yes.
Like you're going with it. Like it's just like you don't have a choice.
Right.
Like because you love me.
Yeah.
You're going to support whatever.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, that is dangerous. Mm-hmm. That's very dangerous. Yeah, that's why I did the healthy in quotes.
Yes.
Because it might seem good, but mm-hmm. then it can get yeah. very sideways all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you?
I'm just thinking about the kind that makes a lot of movies and TV shows, like Psycho Love.
Oh, we went.
I'm not talking about the Hallmark Channel.
We went to Lifetime really quick, right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. There's yeah. that kind.
The obsessive,
right? Like crazy person.
Yeah. That I think
that's
that
a
really,
kind.
It absolutely is, because it really does exist, which is kind of frightening, because they don't base those kind of shows on.
On nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
It's definitely there. So there's all different kinds of, I guess, things that people call love. But if we really want to look at the true definition of love, which none of what we've talked about falls under, for sure, we have to look to the word, you know? And I'm going to read a couple of verses, which you probably have heard numerous times, possibly in a wedding. Or several times at church, maybe some teachings, but it is really important to go to the word for what we're looking for as far as the definition, especially when it comes to love. So let's read 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. And that verse does continue on, but we're going to stop there. There's a whole lot in this verse, and we could do one whole podcast just on these couple of verses, obviously. But we really need to, anything that we were talking about there probably wouldn't even hit on one of these, you know, like, you know, even just the part that says it's not self-seeking. You talked about the,
yeah.
I mean, that's self-seeking. That's absolutely self-seeking. Absolutely. It's, you know, does not dishonor, doesn't keep any records of wrongs, which... Mm-hmm. That happens a lot, especially in those longer term relationships, you know, when you want to pull out those skeletons whenever it's convenient for you to say, look what you did, that kind of thing. So this is the definition of love that God gives us. And this is the one that we really need to be reflecting on as we talk about how I am loved, because God is love. God is love. So our identity is I am loved. So you are loved. God loves you. 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. I love the word lavished. I just think it is such a beautiful picture word. I mean, what comes to your mind when I say lavished?
I think about abundance, like just being poured out to the point where you would say it's too much. It's overflowing. It's
I'm drowning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just like just this. And it's definitely a pouring outward. I don't know if it literally means that, but in my brain, that's what I see.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like this. Overflowing. It's like when you're at the water park and the big bucket has finally filled up to where it starts to tip, and then you're right underneath it and you just get this gushing water on you, but it's like never ending. It's just constantly gushing. And so that's what I see. I love that. And the picture of the love that we just defined, you know, that love is what he pours out on us. I just love it.
I think of like in the, like when you see the situation where like somebody orders so many flowers for the person that it like fills their house, you know, that whole, like you open the door and like you can't walk around because the house is full of flowers because you ordered like 14 flower stores worth of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's lavishing.
That's true. You know? Yeah. Yeah. That's a good picture too.
I also see it as a consistent thing. Like there's just always more and more and more. And, and that definition in 1 Corinthians 13, love never, love always, love, you know, It doesn't change. It doesn't lessen. It's if it's lavished, it's not just today. It's today and it's tomorrow and it's next day and it goes on and on.
Those are eternal words.
Yes.
Yeah. Always. Absolutely. I like that. Thank you for pointing that out. So it is important that we find our identity in how we are loved by God. I am loved by God. Last podcast, we made reference to Psalms 139. In fact, we read through the whole thing. I'm just going to kind of pull out bits and pieces of it, but just to kind of remind you if you listened in last time, or feel free to read it. It's an amazing, amazing chapter. Psalms 139 talks about how God knows when we get up. He knows when we go out. He knows everything about us, and he just pinpoints these beautiful things. He knows it when we're sleeping. He knows when we're awake. And we can't go anywhere from his presence, no matter where we go, to the deepest part of the ocean, to the farthest part, you know, across the sea and down to the depths of the earth and up to the highest. I mean, no matter where we go, his presence is there. And then he goes on to talk about how he's created us in our mother's womb and how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it just, Psalms 139 just paints this beautiful picture of how well we are known, how I am known by God, by me and you. We are known by God. It's not just us. It's us as individuals. We are known by God. I am known by God. And I can't help but to feel loved when I read about that. Because who is going to bother their time to know that much about me? You know, it also says towards the end about how many thoughts he has towards us outnumber the grains of sand, which, I mean, that's just, try to fathom that for a minute or 10. It will blow your mind. And if you don't feel loved after that, I don't know what would make you feel loved. I mean, that is just an amazing thing. Is there any other parts of that chapter you want to bring up? So, I mean, does that make you feel loved, learning about all that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you're the whole idea of, if for someone to know those many things about you, there would be no reason for them to know all of those things if they didn't also love you.
Right.
So, I mean, because the time it takes to put into doing something like that, when we think about it in our perspective,
right?
You know, for me to know all those things about you, I better love you if I'm going to take the time to figure all that stuff out.
Right, right.
So
you're not going to waste your time for somebody that you don't know and that you don't,
Right.
Thankfully, God knows all of us, and he knows all of us that way, and he loves all of us that way, because he's God. He's not us. Thank you, God, that you are you, and you are not one of us. So the Bible, we've been making reference to it, obviously, is an instruction manual, but ultimately, it is an amazing love letter from God to us. And if we can realize, and when we're reading it, even the things that are hard to read, even the things that we don't understand, which is about a million, we need to know that it's still a love letter to us. And if we're having a hard time when we read through a portion, especially the Old Testament, a lot of times people really struggle with, you know, the anger, you know, that comes out in there, and how it talks about God's wrath, and they really struggle with that because they're like, well, how is he a loving God if he, you know, he's wrath and all, and you know, maybe we'll have to set aside another podcast to talk about that. But if you come across those and you're reading it, just ask him, hey, God, show me. I know that this is a love letter to me. How does this section reflect that? How, you know, show me, Holy Spirit, how this section reflects your love for me. Because the entire thing, I guarantee, is a love letter to you and to me. In fact, God loved us first, right? Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. it also says that, I mean, I know this is kind of mind-bending to some because it's not comprehensible, but Christ died before the foundations of the earth. So he died for all of us even before we were born. And then he died. He showed that on earth when he came to earth. But he died for us way before we were even around, you know, especially us, because, you know, we're like over 2,000 years later. But he died for our sins. So he showed his love for us first, before we could even understand, comprehend, know that we needed it, any of those things. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus dying on the cross for us is the ultimate sacrifice of the display of his love for us. He does so many other things for us that are out of his love. I mean, I probably couldn't even write them all down, all the different things that he does for us. But the fact that he sacrificed his son is, you know, I would probably say right up there, way up there.
Yes.
Let's see. And I mentioned before how God is love, and he is. Like, there's not a lot of things that God says that he is. I mean, he is omniscient. He's, you know, he knows everything. He is everywhere and all of those things. But there's not a lot of things that we really can grab a hold of, like love, that he says that that's what he is. But he says, or this is first, it's John. He says, God is love. It's in 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And of course, this is pointing to our relationship with him, that abiding, that always, you know, nurturing that relationship with him. But it clearly states that God is love. And so we can go back to 1 Corinthians and go through that, and God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not prideful. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. So we can go down through the whole list. God is love. Okay, so knowing that we are loved is very important, obviously, because that's the place where we have to start. But it is slightly different to receive his love. So what are your thoughts on that?
For someone who's grown up in a loving family, mm-hmm. in a loving household, who has experienced the faithfulness of someone who loves them, the goodness of someone who loves them, it's just kind of a natural thing. And so you read and you learn, okay, God loves you, and you accept it. But for a person who's grows up broken, in a broken world, it's really hard. And the way to receive God's love, I think, is to be able to put your trust in him. To say, I believe you. Yeah. I believe you. Because if you've been hurt a lot of times, it's hard to put your trust. It's hard to put your trust. But I think God knows that. And he certainly works with us, because he comes after us because he longs for that relationship.
Yeah.
That he's going to love us one way or the other. But receiving it is coming to a place where you realize you can trust him.
Yeah. That's very true. That's good. That's very good. Yeah, I think that just knowing that God loves you, because I think that that's a message that we hear a lot. And of course, it's mistaken. He loves me. He'll just love everything that's all about me and everything that I do, and because he loves me.
Right.
And we know, we've talked about that. But knowing that God loves you is different than receiving his love. But receiving his love is, I mean, knowing that he loves you is just the beginning. Receiving his love is a part of making that love complete. Now, God completely loves us. He is complete within himself. But if we're talking about our relationship with him and he's just lavishing his love, he's lavishing his love, lavishing his love. But if it just is there, it's just pouring out and pouring out, but it's not getting into you. It's not being received. Mm-hmm. It's not completing its work, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. We don't recognize it.
Right.
If we don't recognize it as his love.
Right. If we don't recognize it and then receive it.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think to receive it, we have to do our part. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, that's that whole, you know, like you said, what greater way did God show his love than by sending Jesus? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But we have to receive that, the free gift that mm-hmm. you know, that we talk about. We have to receive that. And so it's like receiving his love has to do with acknowledging mm-hmm. what we have to do first, which mm-hmm. does mean surrender, which does yes. mean putting us where, you know, doing the part we have to do.
Yeah.
That's there's no more words that are coming to me right now, but that's really, you know, that's
it's how right I'm, on point. In fact, I think yeah. that you've been reading my notes, but
pretty much. Yeah. That Apple cloud thing, you know,
I get that. That response.
Yes.
That response.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, if I have a vitamin or some kind of supplement in my hand and I can know that this is good for me. You know, this is something that is going to help me. This is something that's going to grow me. This is something that is going to be a good thing for me. But if I just know that and I keep it in my hand, it does no good for me. So I can know all day long that God loves me and I can hear it and I can hear it. But until I take that vitamin inside of me, it can't do what it's meant to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So until I receive God's love into me, it cannot do what it has been sent to do. Mm-hmm. It cannot accomplish what it needs to do. So you both have already touched on the things, the steps that we can take to get to the place where we can receive his love.
And, you know, I think that from Job is a great example because of the fact that he didn't sway from where he needed to be. Mm-hmm. In order to be able to receive God's love in the hardship, in the horrible that was going on right. to him and to the people that he loved in his life. But because he remained steadfast, he came out the other side of it to actually be able to see God's love and how that worked for the greater mm-hmm. in his life. You know, and that's where, like you said earlier, in the world's perspective, They say, how do I know that God loves me? You know, mm-hmm. it's like, well, you didn't do your part. Like, mm. you know, you want the benefits without having to do your part. And that's that part that's just unfortunate. Is that the people in the world don't see that. They want the love without any of the responsibility.
Mm, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. They don't want to have to do what they need to do in order to.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, I think that ultimately that's what really stops people from truly having a relationship with God equals salvation. To really be saved,
yeah.
to really have that relationship with God requires that. Mm-hmm. Because God is love. How can we not take him in and still think that we, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross. But you can say those words, but until you actually receive him in, mm-hmm. you know, and he's love. So it is like any kind of other relationship. It's the getting to know him. It's the reading the word and the talking with him and everything. But I really feel like we're kind of at the very beginning of this whole receiving thing. So I want to go ahead and jump ahead to the parable of the sower. So I'm sure that you have heard this at least once or twice, but I'm going to go ahead and read through it, and then we'll kind of discuss the points. We've kind of actually already touched on some of them as far as, anyways, we'll get to it. Matthew 13:4-8. So as this is Jesus, and he's talking about a farmer, and he has some seed in his hand, and then he goes to tell the story about the parable of the sower. So the farmer, I just want to set this up so that everybody understands. So the sower is the person who's spreading the seed because they're trying to sow into the soil in order to reap a harvest, basically. So this is the parable of the sower. So again, it's Matthew 13, 4 through 8. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what it was sown. So we clearly have four different kinds of grounds. We'll just call them grounds. And what we're talking about today is love. So we're going to look at the seed as God's love. So we talked about God lavishes his love, right? So he's always looking to sow his love. God is always looking for people to sow his love. He is lavishing it on all of us because he does love everybody. He has no prejudice against anybody. He loves everybody. So he is constantly trying to sow his love into people. However, like the path. So the path couldn't absorb or take in any seeds because the path wasn't, I know sometimes I would picture growing up when they would talk about this, a sidewalk. Well, you did too?
Yep, always.
Yeah. Maybe it was the flannelgraph. So I don't know.
It was on the concrete.
Yes.
Like you threw it on the concrete. Right. That's why it didn't grow.
Well, it didn't necessarily.
I'm a generation older. It was just a hard dirt path.
There wasn't concrete when she was a kid.
Yeah, there was.
Well, it was probably
but it was expensive and only the rich people had it.
It was probably more of where you grew up. There was a whole lot of beaten down paths from you guys walking, probably.
Yeah.
So we're talking basically about like a dirt path that they had been walking on. And if you've ever looked at like a field where they have the place where the stuff grows, but then they have the places in between where they go and to check out the plants to pick the fruit and all of those things. So those places are trampled down so firmly that it just, there's nothing that can penetrate it.
To where the tractor tires go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Not so much back then, but yeah. And so it's too hard. So that would be a hard heart. So a person that possibly, you know, is just hardened by the world. They've been hurt, like you said, Eileen. They've been hurt, and they're hard. You know, they've been in places where they can't trust because people that they did trust, you know, just made them hard, and they have those walls up, you know, mm-hmm. and they're hard. And so when somebody comes along and says, "Hey, Jesus loves you," or they see it on a sign, they're like, uh-huh.
"Yeah, right.
Yeah, you haven't seen my life, so yeah, okay." You know, and they can't receive it. They probably don't even believe it, you know, yeah. And even if they did, it's not for me because obviously if you just look at my life, God doesn't love me.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's really sad. Those people can get to the place, but that's when we're talking about that hard path where the seed of love has fallen and it's just being completely, the birds come and pick it and take it away. It does no good because of how hard it is. So then we have the rocky soil, which is very shallow. It doesn't have very much dirt. It has a whole lot of rocks. And so this is a person who hears about God's love and they receive it. They're like, oh, this is awesome. God loves me. And so they receive it. However, when hard times come, they're kind of like, I thought you said you loved me. You know, if you really did love me, then why are you letting me go through this? Or if you really did love me, why did you take my mom away? Why did she die? And like it says in the parable, it just withers away because there was no deep root. they didn't have enough of the soil. They didn't have enough time spent with God where he could break up those rocks, because he can. Even if that's the beginning, if you begin that relationship with God, he can get you there. Mm-hmm. You just have to not stay in the place you're at. You have to do those things you guys are talking about, which we'll get to in a minute. I want to jump ahead. And so then the next person, or the next thing, is the thorns. That, you know, some seed fell among some thorns. So there was dirt there. The seed got in there. So this is a person who has heard about God's love and they've received it. But then all of a sudden they're not in church and they're like, ooh, look at that shiny thing. I really want that car. So I'm going to work a second job so that I can get that car. And I want to make sure that I have everything that I want. And so they start to pursue the things that they want instead of pursuing their relationship with God and allowing God to provide and direct in all of those things. The other part of that too is that it could be a little bit of fear. You know, maybe you're a business person or somewhere where you've been in a secular environment and you've decided to follow God and you're like, yes, God loves me, you know, and you've had, you know, maybe a cool men's retreat or something like that, that you went to and you're like, yeah, I'm changed and God loves me. And you're excited and you've received that love, but then you get back into your lifestyle. You get back in there and you kind of go, I don't know if they're still going to like me if they know that I'm Christian now. I don't know. And they kind of just get in this place where and all those worries and all those desires of the world just choke it out, choke out God's love. They don't allow it to get down and to germinate and to really grow because there's just other stuff that gets in the way. And then finally, we have the good soil. Yay, good soil. That's the goals. And that's where we receive God's love and it's in a good place and we pursue that relationship with him, because this is possible from the beginning. It's very possible, but we have to be purposeful in what we're doing. And then it is possible. It is possible to have that and to have it grow and that multiplication that he talks about, the 30, 60, 100 fold of what we've received is how we then show other people how he loved us and how we love them and how he loves them. And it's just like this multiplication that just keeps happening. It's that kingdom math. It's amazing, you know? So any thoughts on that, on those different grounds?
That, that the first two, mm-hmm. there's never a lasting plant. First one, there's never a plant at all. Mm. That third one, a plant can grow in that weedy ground and still be there and still look like a plant, but it never bears any fruit. It never accomplishes anything for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
That's, you know.
So it can still look like.
It can still look like, yes. Mm.
That's a good one. That hurts a little bit maybe for somebody. It can still look like it, but there's no fruit that's being produced because right. It's not really getting any further because mm-hmm. you have all those other things that are getting in the way.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes those things too can be like what you choose to surround yourself with.
Mm, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So it could be the people you choose to spend all your time with. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that as a Christ follower that you can't hang with
right.
non-Christ followers mm-hmm. because we should be friends with people and mm-hmm. be a witness and all those things. But if, you know, if that's where you're putting all of your time and that's where you're spending all of your efforts and your resources, mm-hmm. then you're surrounding yourself with things that aren't going to be helpful mm-hmm. to your growth.
Right.
So,
yeah, that was a good point. So we talked a little bit about what the rocky soil and the thorns and could be. But let's talk about some of the things that you guys have already mentioned as far as what we can do to provide an opportunity to have that good soil. You know, God's so gracious. He really is. So even if we do come to him and we realize his love for us, and maybe our hearts aren't from the beginning super good soil. Maybe it's just enough soil. Maybe it does have some rocks in there. Maybe there are some thorns. But if we choose to, like you guys have mentioned, submit all of those things to him, if we choose to engage in this relationship with him and say, God, I believe that you do love me and I want to receive that love. I want this relationship. And we're reading our word and we're going to church and being around other people who love God, who can encourage us and disciple us and just really help nurture that growth in him. And I believe that, I mean, I know because God is full of grace where he can break up those rocks and pull out those thorns and those weeds. And he does that for us. And there are times in life, which I think that we all probably have gone through, even growing up in the church, because all three of us have, where we're not necessarily the best soil just at certain points in our life. There can be points where maybe we've kind of lacked in really doing the things that we know we need to do on a consistent basis for whatever reason. Just life starts taking over and we're not being purposeful, because we know that we need to be purposeful, right? We have to be purposeful in doing these things and reading the word and getting with him and allowing him to speak to us and to do things in us. And there could maybe be something that happened to us all of a sudden. Maybe we did lose a loved one. Maybe, you know, there could be a variety of different things that can kind of pull us to the side a little bit. And so our heart isn't necessarily that really good soil. We have been there. We've experienced, we've tasted of God and seen that he is good. But there are times possibly when life just kind of takes over and we're not being purposeful, or some kind of tragedy can happen that can let some rocks in and let some thorns grow up, let some other stuff in there that doesn't belong. It could be the simplest thing, which we've talked about, and I will continue to talk about it because I think it's really important for people to be aware of offense. You know, it can be the littlest thing. It could be somebody that you feel close to and they say something that offends you, and all of a sudden here we are, and that can blossom into a very ugly, big thorny bush. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really can. And it could be literally the smallest little thing, that smallest little weed seed that can come in. I mean, have you ever experienced in your life like a time like that really, you know, that maybe things kind of slid off to the side a little bit and you kind of had to regroup? And I mean, I can tell you, if you can't think of one,
I was going to say, yeah, I've had times like that, yeah. But I don't like to talk about them.
I don't either. But I know that there are a lot of people who are out there, and I never want people to feel like we're like up here, like we always have it all together.
No,
and we don't.
We don't.
We really don't. We just come to talk about our experience because hopefully it'll help somebody else.
I can vouch for the fact that neither of you have it all together.
And I know you say that in love.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But I mean, there have been times, probably one of the furthest times I can think of was when I was a teenager, and I had a good youth group. I just didn't feel necessarily a part of it. There was lots of, I had friends there, you know, there was people I talked to. It wasn't like I was an outcast or anything. It just, I didn't feel that close to them for whatever reason. And I felt closer to the people that I worked with. Well, those people weren't Christians. And I guess maybe if they claim to be, we never talked about it. I don't know. But they like to do other things. They like to hang out and drink and do other things at people's houses here and there. And so I felt more accepted by them. And so I did. I went down that path for some time. And I don't even know how long it was. It wasn't like I was like drunk all the time. I just don't have a good memory. But it probably was for about a year. And I can remember my, and God was so gracious. He was always calling to me. He was always calling to me. And most of the time I put it off, ignored, you know, I just was like, I'm doing my own thing. And it wasn't good. You know, I don't just mean the choices that I was making. It didn't make me feel good either. Like, for as much as that lifestyle, maybe it honestly didn't. It didn't do me any good. It didn't feel good. It didn't make me feel better about anything. It just was what it was. And I really did feel like I was too far from God. Like, I believed that. I know that was a lie from the enemy, but I really did. I felt like I was too far from God. And I can remember it was a late, late evening because my parents were out of town. And so it was just me at the house. And so I would stay up really, really late because, you know, I was brave, but I would stay up really, really late so that I could just knock out and go to sleep, you know, and try not to remember that I was all by myself in the house. And I can remember God calling to me. And I was just like, and I was like, but I'm too far. Like, I'm sitting there having this conversation, telling God that I'm too far. Yeah, I'm too far, God. And he's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. And I was like, yeah, I am.
So, as he's actively speaking to you. We're in a conversation.
Yes. That's the irony. But don't we all do that sometimes?
Yes.
Let's argue with him because we're for sure right. We're never right.
There's no way.
Not when we're having conversations with God.
Yes, never right. Ever.
And just for the record, yes, you can have conversations with God like that, and he does respond, and it's there.
Yes. He does, because he's so full of grace and he loves you that much.
Yes.
He loves you that much to chase after you when you're trying to run away.
Yes.
You know, and I know that. I've been there. And so that was the beginning. I said, okay. Finally, after arguing with him for a little while, I said, okay. And I went upstairs and got on my knees, and it was a battle coming back. It was a battle. I'm not going to get into it today with this one, but it was. The enemy thought he had a hold of me, and he did. And then when he realized he didn't, it was a battle. Mm-hmm. It was. But God prevailed. Woohoo! He's good.
That's awesome.
Yay!
That's awesome.
Yes.
He's always faithful. I know the last time I did this with you, I talked about the fact that God created for 6 days, and on the seventh day he stopped creating because he had created humanity, and that was his purpose and that was his heart. Mm-hmm. He wanted relationship with people. And so he's always going to come after us. He's always going to come after us. He's always going to pursue that better relationship, that deeper relationship. And he's always going to be there.
Yeah.
He's always going to be, and he's always been there for me, and I haven't mm-hmm. always been there for him, but always eventually it comes back around to, oh man, God, I know I've been messing up here, and I really need to get it right. And mm-hmm. he's always been faithful yeah. to just get me going where I need to go again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it does require, in both of our instances, in every instance, that submission.
Mm-hmm. Repentance.
And yes. Repentance. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. And let me turn from my ways, because that's mm-hmm. what repentance means, is turn from your way. I was wrong. Turn from your ways and get right back there. Mm-hmm. You know, right back on track. And he will clear out those things. But we do. You had already said how much we need to trust him. Mm-hmm. And that, it's key. Surrender is key, but surrender requires trust. Mm-hmm. And so that can be a very difficult hurdle for people to jump because of the hurt and everything. But hopefully, and by God's grace and the Holy Spirit, he puts other people who are God-loving people in their way who can help them, come alongside of them and help teach them how to forgive, how to let go of the offense, how to trust him. He's the one and only person who we can trust 100% of the time is God, 100%. And you know, just the body of Christ coming together to help those people get through, how to learn, how to trust and to surrender. And that's something that it's a daily thing. We have to daily surrender and trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so important. It's so important to stay in that place of surrender and just trusting him and that good soil.
and I think you can't emphasize too much the importance of putting yourself in a place where you're a part of the body of Christ, where mm-hmm. you're going to church services and you're getting to know the people and you need a church where there are people who are willing to come around you and mm-hmm. be friends with you. Going to a big church and getting there just when service starts and leaving as soon as service is over and never getting to know anybody doesn't help you.
That's true. Yeah.
You need to be part of that mm-hmm. body, because in that body, we encourage each other. Testimonies other people have encourage you, mm-hmm. encourage your faith and your trust, and help you to understand God more. That being a body of Christ. And I want to say one more thing. Different thing here. Mm-hmm. It's also good to know one of those things in 1 Corinthians 13, where it's talking about love. It says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Mm. And God doesn't keep a record of your wrongs. He just loves you. He just wants relationship
yes.
with you.
Yes. Yes. That is so true. He really doesn't. We keep the record of wrongs against ourselves, right? Like, we might not with our spouse or, you know, our significant other, we might not hold that against them, but we absolutely do all the time. And that can actually be something that does prevent us from receiving God's love, mm-hmm. is that when we think, well, I did all these things. Yeah. I did all these things. I know you love me, but I did all these things mm-hmm. and I'm not worthy. And I'm not, and all that trash talk that mm-hmm. we have in our head sometimes, that can absolutely be one of those things that can get in the way of receiving his love. So all of those things, but you know, if you do submit yourself, God will say, hey, let's get truth. Let's take that thought captive. Let's replace it with truth.
Yes.
Reading his word.
Yes.
That's the truth. And I know I sound like a broken record, but I tell you what, it's the answer.
Amen.
It is the answer. So I had a thought and it just escaped me. I don't like when that happens.
That's because Mom jumped in. She had something
to say. No, but it was beautiful. I loved it. I love that she did. Absolutely. So, yeah, we need to absolutely surrender everything to him. And he'll lead us. He'll guide us. I mean, all this stuff is in the word, guys, I promise. And like Eileen was saying, you know, as far as get into church. Oh, I was thinking when you were talking about how life groups are really yes. significant too. If you can find a good, healthy life group, small group, whatever they want to call it, it's a smaller group of people who meet together, who sometimes it's more of a social thing, but they can at least encourage each other and talk about their lives and pray together. Sometimes it's more of a study, but whatever you can find, even if it's not necessarily, if your church doesn't have it, there are life groups around. You just have to reach out and try and look, and there are things online that you can be encouraged by. Also, just be careful, just make sure it's somebody you can trust. But it's important. It's important to have that family around you to really give you that support. So along with finding a church that can get around yes. you and support you, life groups are amazing when it comes to things like that. You definitely do that. So we're talking about, knowing that God loves us, receiving his love, and now we need to reciprocate his love back to him. So what does it look like for us to reciprocate his love back to him? Because we don't really have love to give him until we receive it from him. So he loved us first, and we believe that, and we've received it into our good soil, and now we're going to reciprocate that back to him. What does that look like?
It looks like expressing your joy. It looks like expressing the good things that he's put into you and that he's given you. Mm. You don't hide them. You don't bury them. You don't make assumptions and take them for granted, but you thank God for the sunshine or for the rain or for the joy you feel in the morning, or for the good night's sleep, or for the smile somebody gave you today. Mm-hmm. You out loud, you reciprocate, you respond, you say thank you. Mm. You just worship him.
Yeah. And that in the saying thank you is in recognizing it.
Yes.
First.
Yes.
It's that recognizing his love in mm-hmm. your life and recognizing what he's done, how he's cleaned you out, mm-hmm. and being thankful for all those things. Absolutely. Yeah. How about you?
She said the word worship, so that's where I was going to go.
Well, you can expand on it. It's okay.
Worship. See, still said the word. That's the answer.
Yes, yes, it is worship. And as it grows, and worship is more than just singing, it's a huge part of it when we express our love for him in song. But it's so much more than that. It is literally a way of living. Worship is a way of living, and it's the thankfulness. Absolutely. It's praising him for who he is. And then it's that worship, which is that intimate place where we come together. And I sometimes don't even have words, but it's that intimate place that we come together, and I feel him so close, and we're just together, you know, that worship and just glorifying him and focusing on him. And so it's all of that. That's in one word, worship.
Yeah. That's why I only had to say one word.
Yes. And I think what comes out of that, when we respond to him and we experience that place of his closeness, it builds a hunger in us, and being willing to make the time to go after him and to practice those spiritual disciplines. Am I going to take time to pray? Am I going to take time to listen for his voice? Am I going to take time to be in the word of God and to read it and to think about what it says and to learn from it? To be obedient when he gives me some direction to do something, mm-hmm. To be willing to do that. All those things are the way I return my love to him.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that is how we, it's all of those things. So we love him back by being obedient, mm-hmm. and it's this beautiful cycle. So we have this cycle where God loved us first and he lavishes his love on us. We receive his love, and in turn, we give it back to him through worship, through being in his presence, being with him, reading about him, learning about him, being around other people who love him, and then obeying and trusting more. And then we can receive more of his love, because there's always more. He's lavishing it. And so there's always more. So if you can just picture it in this cycle picture, you know, like in, I know I don't want to have anybody have any crazy flashbacks to like science class, but you know, they have the cycles where it's like, you know, it's a tadpole that goes to this, that has the, you know, the arrows in this cycle. But that's what I see in my head. God loved us first, and that points to the next one where we receive his love, and then even the next arrow that points to giving love back to him, and in all of those ways. And it's just this perfect, complete cycle. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. This was God's goal when he rested, like you said. And his goal was to have relationship with us. This is the picture of the complete love. His love is complete, but this is the relational love that is it, the picture of the completion. And then it's just this constant cycle that just keeps going and going and going. The more that we submit to him, the more that we trust him, the more that we read about him and spend time with him, the more that we can receive his love, the more that grows in us, then we can love other people.
Yes. Yes. I'm glad you said that, because we have to know that, yes, there's that vertical cycle that we mm-hmm. go between us and God. But eventually, in our obedience to him, it's going to go horizontally to the people yep. around us, because our testimony is what shines God's love on them so that they can come to know the Lord too mm-hmm. and learn to trust him and believe in him and obey him.
Yeah. And as they see the cycle in our life, mm-hmm. and even though we're going through all of this hard stuff, we have that joy. Mm-hmm. And it's real. It's not fake. It's not this plastered on. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I just see those pictures, those commercials where they're talking about depression and they have like the little smiley face that they're hiding behind. And it's like, oh, just get Jesus. Sorry. Anyways, I just see that, you know, like we don't want to just hold up a smiley face. Like we really are in this place that is wonderful and beautiful. And then people see that and they're like, but I know a little bit about what's going on with them. So how in the world can they be this mm-hmm. joyful? And those, what were the hard path mm-hmm. kind of gets broken up a little mm-hmm. bit because of your testimony of just living mm-hmm. the joy, you know? And so that loving outward can break up that soil, can break up that mm-hmm. pathway to hopefully get them to a place where they are interested and they ask the questions, and then that can start with their cycle of mm-hmm. love with God. And, mm-hmm. and that's that whole discipleship thing too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. So any last minute thoughts about love? Love is amazing, and God's love is the only one and only true love that we can really, really bank on. He's not looking for us. His love does not depend on us loving him back. He will lavish it on you, and it is very, very true love. But the goal is that relationship,
yes.
which is what we're talking about today. Yeah. So I do want to encourage you, if you are at any place in your life that possibly you maybe be in that rocky soil, or maybe some thorns are starting to grow up, listen, just get with him. Get with him. He has enough love, and you just need to submit whatever it is that you got going on in your life. Trust him with it and get that cycle going real good again, so that that way you can receive more of his love. And it's just a beautiful thing. So just want to encourage you with that today, and know that you are loved. Your identity can be found in I am loved, and you are loved, and God loves you. Until next time, continue believing in the one and only true God. We'll see you then.